The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service. I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Summer Screen Kings Part 2. With streaming platforms continuing to reign supreme and movie theaters opening back up, audiences have more ways than ever to catch this season's most highly anticipated releases. Wherever you choose to see them, these leading men promise to be worth every second. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. In Arabic, the name Yahya means John, which roughly translated means grace by God. Given the space, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II has carved out for himself in Hollywood. The meaning seems particularly appropriate. Back home in New Orleans, however, the actor, weeks away from the release of his first leading role in Candyman, doesn't have an aura of grandeur about him. To his family, he's simply little Yahya. At 35 and a towering 6'3" tall, Yahya may no longer be growing in physical height, but his imprint in Hollywood continues expanding, as does his aptitude as a thespian. Considering the variety of characters he has already portrayed, it's easy to forget it was only 5 years ago that we were introduced to him as the disco prince Clarence, quote-unquote, Cadillac Caldwell in the Get Down Baz. Shot me like a superstar. The Yale School of Drama grad recalls of his first major role. I got to come on the screen and make a big impression from the jump. This led to parts in films such as Baywatch and The Greatest Showman before a return to Netflix, where he co-starred along Anthony Mackie in the Striking Vipers episode of Black Mirror. That part really touched a nerve for a lot of people, says Yahya, noting the episode's exploration of homoeroticism. But for him, starring in the series was a no-brainer, he says. My first thought was, oh, I have to do this, he recalls. The episode was about addiction, vulnerability. There were questions about masculinity. There were questions about love and connection. My character was a guy who didn't have connection in his life, and he finally found it. The question became, what do you do to hold on to something that you know is real? How much are you willing to fight for it? And how much are you willing to expose yourself for it? Whatever nerve Yahya's Black Mirror performance struck, audiences were left craving more of him on the big and small screen. In 2019, people included him in their Sexiest Man Alive gallery, but a quick glance at Yahya's social media and his ability to poke fun at himself revealed the star isn't caught up in the trope of being a sex symbol. I don't think sexy tries, he says. Ease is sexy. It's nice to have a little bit of mystery, and if I'm being perfectly honest, it's not for me to say whether I'm attractive or not. It's for me to have self-confidence. Confidence is sexy. Yahya points out that as an actor, he also has to be willing to be ugly at times. He says being perceived as attractive isn't his primary concern, though he jokes that he does try to keep himself in shape, read books, curate a good playlist, and splash on a bit of cologne every now and then. All that doesn't help me to be a better actor, he quickly adds in a more serious tone. I'm after longevity as opposed to just making a splash in a moment. But if somebody says I'm easy on the eyes, I don't mind. He never set out to be an actor. I was doing a job that I fit, and I was doing well. I didn't need more, says the former city planner, who put his architecture degree from UC Berkeley to good use helping redevelop neighborhoods in San Francisco. I wasn't itching to be a star or anything like that. But after being laid off from his city planning job in 2010, he began taking acting classes at night. That decision, he says, wasn't in pursuit of a new career. It was really about fun and interest in acting and possibly getting on the stage one day. He explains, I wasn't thinking about movies or television. I just started following my curiosity. If curiosity paved the way for his entrance into the entertainment field, his trajectory doesn't surprise his mother, Mary Abdul-Mateen, who describes her son as a quote-unquote peculiar child. He was always playful and wanting to be the center of attention, she recalls. The living room was his stage. Really, it was a stage for all of my children, so him being where he is today makes sense. After spending his childhood in New Orleans, Yaha moved with his family to the Bay Area. Thinking back to this time as a student athlete at McClemens High School in Oakland, he sees clearly how the foundation for his acting career was already being laid. We hosted the pep rallies, we were in the dance competitions, and the talent shows. Everything was a competition about how much attention you could get, he reflects. I guess I was performing since high school, but never really knew it. It was at Yale that Yaha says he learned the formal craft of acting while earning his Master of Fine Arts degree. Of course, it's one thing to learn the fundamentals of performing and another to put them into practice as a working actor. He attributes his steady climb as an entertainer to his inability to be satisfied. I got here by staying curious, by staying humble, and also knowing that there's so much more that I want to do, he explains. I think I've done a lot on other people's terms. I've been able to step into projects that were already written before my name was attached. And I am so thankful that I was able to step in and support those projects. But now I'm at a place where I'm looking to come into rooms with my own ideas and develop those ideas and tell my own stories. I think that's the next chapter. In 2018, Yaha landed his first role in one of the most coveted movie genres for actors today, superhero action flicks. After starring as Black Manta in Aquaman, he went from the world of DC Comics to Marvel Universe, playing Cal-Ebar, a devoted husband with a surprise character twist in HBO's Watchmen. We were considering Yaha and two other actors who were great actors, says co-star Regina King, who plays his wife in the HBO series. But later on, I told writer-producer Damon we didn't need to test the two other actors. Yaha was obviously the choice. Of winning the role, Yaha says, it was nice to just be a dude who was deeply in love and would do anything to protect that love. There were still magical elements to it, but to get to star opposite Regina and to flirt and dance and protect and be a husband, I was really craving that. My heart was craving that. My artistry was craving the chance to just be simple. The part ultimately earned him an Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series. No doubt it also helped him transition from a supporting player to the top of the call sheet in Candyman. However, for the upcoming horror film's director, Nia DaCosta, it was Yaha's character in the film, Us, that caught her eye. I remember being impressed with how much he did with that role, she says, of his portrayal of a father seen only in a main character's flashbacks. He was able to create a full character with a long, specific history with such little real estate. As an actor, Yaha is honest, playful, and focused. It goes without saying that he's also versatile. After Candyman, Yaha will star in The Matrix 4, the newest installment in the Matrix franchise. Next year, he'll appear in his third action flick, Ambulance. Having starred in thrillers, horror films, musicals, and legal dramas. Could Yaha have a rom-com next on his list of cinematic conquest? We need more romance, he says. We have adventure. We have action. We've got a lot of stories about trauma because trauma is very present in our world right now. But we also need love. We need more straight up old school romance. I don't mind putting my hand up and stepping into that place to say, I'll be your man, girl. I don't mind that at all. When Yaha won his Emmy Award in 2020, he dedicated it to the black women in his life, whom he calls his quote unquote early investors, people who believed in me before the world did, who told me that I was special every step of the way, who would not let me even think that it was possible for me to fail, he explains. Black women in my life, they protect me and speak life into me. They put their arms around me. And it's been an honor for me to take them on this journey, to celebrate them anytime I have a win. It's a win for them. King, who also won an Emmy Award for her leading role in Watchmen, wasn't surprised by the dedication when she watched Yaha accept the award from home. That man talks about his sisters and his mother with so much love and so much appreciation, she says. I think that was one of the reasons why we connected so well. It doesn't always work that way with actors, that you feel safe enough to be so forthcoming with your personal life, but we did that literally day one. His love for the women in his life, he leads with that. Among those early investors are Yaha's sisters, his grandmother, his aunt, and his mother, whom he flew to New Orleans for a birthday party he threw her days before our interview. This was my first birthday party ever, Mary Abdul-Mateen reveals. It meant everything to me to celebrate with him. The day was also deeply meaningful for Yaha, who was happy to have finally a cause for celebration. We always come home for funerals, he says. So this time we got to come home for a good occasion. It was beautiful to look up and see this little kid from the Magnolia Projects in New Orleans being able to throw my mama a birthday party. Yaha's father, who was Muslim, passed away in 2007 before his son entered the public eye. But the two retain a special bond even now. The first thing I do anytime I come to New Orleans is to go to his gravesite and hang out with him, Yaha says. I play some music for him and talk to him. He knows that his mother's wish is for Abdul-Mateen to become a household name in such a way that it would make Yaha's late father smile. This is Yaha's birthright, she says. My hope is that he always remembers that he is right where he belongs, just because of who he is. I want to see him doing something new and different in Hollywood. He's here to stay. If Yaha Abdul-Mateen Sr. were alive to see his son, he would be proud of the mark he's already made, says the actor's sister, Nikki Abdul-Mateen. He would say, God is great. Aaron Pierre is a true student of his craft. After growing up in West Croydon, South London, he studied at Lewisham College, trained in Toronto, and attended the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. American audiences were first introduced to Pierre in the DC Comics sci-fi series Krypton. This past spring, he starred in The Underground Railroad after director Barry Jenkins saw his performance in Othello and invited him to audition for the series. Every project that I do is a blessing, Pierre says. From my first job to my most recent job, I value them and give thanks for them equally because it's all a part of my journey. This summer, Pierre will have his feature film debut in M. Night Shyamalan's thriller Old, but for him, the size of the screen doesn't matter. He's concerned with work that personally is fulfilling. When it comes to projects that I'm a part of, whether it's theater, film, or television, my decision is based on whether it speaks to me and resonates with me, he says. Am I passionate about it? The answer is yes. Then it doesn't matter if it's in a really small local theater or it's a huge movie. That's how I'm guided. Makai Curtis. When Makai Curtis auditioned for his latest role, he had no idea he was up for the part of leading man. I knew it was Power, but I didn't know it was Raising Kanan. As a fan of Power, I was just like, yo, I could be on Power. What? This summer, he'll be starring in the much buzz about prequel to the Stars franchise, playing the teenage version of Kanan Stark, who was portrayed by the show's co-creator and executive producer Curtis 50 Cent Jackson in the original series. When we catch up with Kanan at 15, I see a lot of myself in him, Curtis says. One of Kanan's biggest motivation is he's there for his family no matter what. And I clicked with that immediately. On that front, we can say I'm a lot like Kanan. The actor is no stranger to TV screens. Having begun working at 13 and starring in series like Kirby Buckets and Milo Murphy's Law, but as he steps into the next role, he's newly focused on his legacy as an entertainer. I want to be one of the greats, Curtis says. I want to be like the Denzels and the Will Smiths, these heavy hitters who bring you deep into the screen with everything they do. That's the kind of light I want to be in. Omar Sy. Lupin reached more than 70 million viewers within its first 4 weeks of release, making it one of the most successful original Netflix series in the past year. But for Omar Sy, the pride that comes with landing the title role in the French heist TV show is personal. Playing Lupin is like an English actor playing James Bond, he says. I was so happy and proud to play him. Lupin is based on the classic French tale of Arsène Lupin, a world-famous thief and master of disguise. Sy was particularly thrilled at the opportunity to cast black men through the retelling of the notable character's story. The fact that he's of African descent and grew up in the suburbs, I'm using all of the ways that people see black men to be Lupin, he says. We know Lupin is a character who plays different characters. So how can a black guy be Lupin and change and be someone else? I'm using all those attitudes that we have in our society and playing with them so that we can show how our society works. Sy's own casting in the series, which is back for a second season this summer, achieves a similar goal, demonstrating a desire for more diverse representation in French cinema. Noting there's still room for improvement, Sy admits he's seen progress during his 20 years as a working actor. Change is here because I'm here doing what I'm doing, he says. The next article is The Woman in the Garden. As British actress Wunmi Mosaku builds her resume in Hollywood, compromising is not part of the plan. Long before she captured American audiences with her sharp portrayal of Ruby Baptiste in HBO's Lovecraft Country, and later as the prideful Rial in Netflix's His House, actress Wunmi Mosaku had amassed stellar acting credits. Born in Nigeria, raised in Manchester, England, and now based in Los Angeles, she confesses that making a name for herself in Hollywood is a bit like starting over. I feel very new here, she says. I don't feel established in the U.S. I feel like I'm still finding my feet. In 2017, Mosaku became only the second black actress in 62 years to score a British Academy Television Award, BAFTA, which she received for her supporting role in the film D'Amelio, Our Loved Boy. But that history-making win didn't immediately shift the ground for her or change the type of parts she was offered. It's still up to the people who are making the shows, she says. A writer can write something, and then an executive producer can say, no, we want them to look like this. Nothing happens overnight. But the only reason why I have a BAFTA is the black actresses who came before me, who put in the legwork. It's changing, but it's slow. Moussaka's talent and her alma mater, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, prepared her for the spotlight. Years of experience have also made her more confident in using her voice. I definitely feel like 2017 was probably the first time I had the courage to say, this isn't right for me. Or, this isn't the direction I want to go in. I don't have to just take everything that is given to me. I have a little bit of autonomy by saying no. It's an ebb and flow. Sometimes we feel so powerless. Sometimes we feel so appreciated. It's really hard. I think it can change from day to day, feeling valued and undervalued. I don't think there's an I just feel valued now moment. That's not the case. Despite the sexist and racist standards that Hollywood has clung to for centuries, the 35-year-old is determined to define beauty on her own terms. The pressure is always so high for women, she says. I feel blessed that I look like me. I've always had to love myself through everyone else's expectations because there's nothing that I could do to fit into their ideal. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not going to belittle myself. I know who I am and where I come from, and my people are beautiful. I'm not going to do anything but honor that. After a year at home, Moussaka is excited to be back in front of the camera. She's currently appearing on Disney Plus as Hunter B-15, a member of the Time Variance Authority in the Marvel Studios original series Lookeye, based on the comic book villain of the same name. Obviously, you want a great character, she says, of the roles that interest her. You want a great journey. I want to see some change, some growth, some development. That's what I care about. Lovecraft Country costume designer Dana Pink garnered immense praise from the body positive community for Ruby's stunning wardrobe. Dark-skinned, curvy black women are rarely centered on screen in vibrant gowns or bright red shorts, for that matter. Ironically, stepping into her character's clothing is still challenging for Moussaka. The costume is the hardest thing because it's not me, she admits. Everything changes. The way you walk, the way you hold yourself, the way you sit. Your character doesn't necessarily wear things that you think are beautiful or comfortable. Your hairstyles on set bleeds into your everyday life. If I'm wearing a weave, I hate that because I feel like my own clothes don't go with a weave. My clothes go with my afro or maybe cornrows. Moussaka wants to retain the sense of belonging she feels when she's away from the bright lights and sound stages, while her career continues to blossom in a world that often seeks to otherize women like her. I've learned so much about myself as a woman, a wife, a partner, and a friend, she explains, referring to her time away from the set during the pandemic. My family and my friends are the most important things to me. My safe space is with them. Now I have to deal with racism again. Not that it wasn't always there, but now I have to face all the micro and macro aggressions just by stepping out of the house. I'm still grappling with it, but my goal is always to be honest with as much respect and love as possible. The next article is titled, The Martha's Vineyard Black Business Collective. Meet the Black Entrepreneurs Preserving Our Rich Legacy in New England. There is a little slice of heaven just off the coast of Cape Cod where Black travelers have been spending their summer for decades. Martha's Vineyard, or the Vineyard, as it affectionately called, is an island filled with charming cottages, historic beaches, locally sourced seafood, and great marinas. Frequented by such luminaries as former President Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Harry Belafonte, and Spike Lee, just to name a few. The Vineyard is steeped in a rich and beautiful Black history, which remains evident on the island today. Among its six towns, Aquinnah, Chilmark, Edgartown, Oak Bluffs, Vineyard Haven, and West Tisbury, the landmark community of Oak Bluffs has been a prized vacation destination of Black families for generations. When the island was quote-unquote purchased, but actually stolen from the Wampanoag people by an English settler back in 1641, its population consisted primarily of Europeans and Native Americans, with enslaved West Africans who had started arriving in the 1600s. Farming, brick making, and fish smoking were common local trades until 1880, when the town of Oak Bluffs was founded. Around the same time, the Methodists introduced the idea of summer vacation excursions on the island, ultimately transforming it from a fishing community into a tourist destination. During the Jim Crow era, segregation reared its ugly head in Martha's Vineyard, too, preventing Black travelers from staying in accommodations on many parts of the island, except for Oak Bluffs. This marked the start of decades-long tourist boom that saw an influx of African-American travelers to this area. Today, Oak Bluffs is especially popular during Black August, the time of year when African-American elites often visit the historic haven. Though only about 3% of Oak Bluffs' year-round residents are Black, the heart of this 7.4 square mile community is a collective of Black entrepreneurs and business owners who remain dedicated to making space for us. Shearer Cottage, one of Martha's Vineyard's historical landmarks. Shearer Cottage opened its doors in 1903 and has offered accommodations to Black travelers for over a century. Why Martha's Vineyard? When Charles and Henrietta Shearer first visited the vineyard in 1890s, Charles, a devout Baptist, attended religious meetings in Baptist Temple Park in Oak Bluffs. The couple fell in love with the island and decided to plant roots that endure to this day, preserving Black history on the island. From the beginning, the inn catered to African Americans, who were often unwelcomed at other island establishments at that time. Still family-owned, Shearer Cottage has hosted many famous Black leaders over the years, including prominent political individuals, civil rights activists, entrepreneurs, actors, and musicians. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138.